This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور محمد عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار اقرأ. إذا حدث وإذا وعد أخلف Memorize that just now. Nuruddin, اقرأ علينا. Alhamdulillah, we've come to a very important hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam, the hadith that describes some of the many descriptions of the hypocrites or the munafiqeen. The issue of the munafiqun is a serious issue in the deen of Allah, and this is why we have a surah of the Quran named by this particular issue, Surat al-Munafiqun. The Prophet used to read it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the khutbatul jum'ah ahyanan, sometimes. And we have many of the ulama of al-Islam writing books in which they expose the characteristics, the many characteristics of the munafiqeen. Scholars from a long time ago and scholars from right now, and they are many, like the book Sifatul Nifaq wa Dham Al-Munafiqeen, the descriptions of hypocrisy and putting down and criticizing the hypocrites. Issue of the Munafiqeen is a serious issue in al-Islam, and there are many. In this particular hadith, we get three of them, and there's another narration that we have to add on to this one. Abu Huraira, may Allah Azza wa Jal be pleased with him, he said that he heard the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sign of a hypocrite is three. If he speaks, he lies. He doesn't tell the truth. And if he promises, he breaks his promise. And number three, if he is entrusted with an amana, he is left with something to take care of it, to safeguard it, he proves treacherous and he loses the trust or the amana. There's a fourth characteristic that is famous as well, because this hadith has different narrations. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرْ. The munafiq is the person who, when he argues with people, gets into an argument, he starts to become like a fajr. He starts to use foul language. He becomes very abusive. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about these characteristics for two reasons. The first reason is for the Muslim to avoid being a person who is exemplifying these four characteristics. If you speak, speak the truth. If you promise, take care of your promise. If you're entrusted with something, take care of the amana, no matter how big, no matter how small. Also, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us of this hadith to warn us of the people who fall into this. Be careful and be wary of the person who is a liar, the individual who, when he promises, he doesn't keep his promise. Beware and be careful of the individual who, when he becomes angry and upset and he becomes argumentative, he becomes a fajr and he becomes abusive. He becomes abrasive. He becomes obnoxious. Beware of all of those characteristics. So that's what this hadith is all about. And this class is talking about the characteristics of the believer. Shakhsiyatul Muslim. Shakhsiyatul Islamiyatul. The characteristic of the Islamic personality. This is what this class is about. We've taken a number of a hadith that describes how the Muslim should be. Everybody here has to make jihad the nafs, to be a person to the best of your ability to avoid these issues, the characteristics of the munafiqeen. So the hadith said, ayat al-munafiqi. Ayat, ikhwani, has multiple meanings in this religion. One of the meanings of ayat is a sign. You know, you have the ayat of the Quran, the verse of the Quran. But ayat is also an alama. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran asking the question, أَوَلَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُمْ آيَةٍ. Didn't Bani Israel have a sign? They had many signs telling them that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to come, and the way his book was going to be, his descriptions, his qualities, the qualities of his companions, ridwanullahi alayhim, to the point that Allah mentioned in the Quran, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاؤُهُمْ. They know him the same way they know their sons, up close and personal. So when he came, they asked him a number of questions. He answered all of those questions, but they played around and they reject his dawah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So ayat, it means a sign. Ayatul munafiq, the sign of the munafiq is three. As for al-munafiq or nifaq, this is a word that should be in everybody's vocabulary. I think nifaq is in Urdu, am I correct? Is that word nifaq in Urdu? Is there Urdu word nifaq? Nifaq means hypocrisy. Nifaq from the verb nafaqa. Nafaqa or nafaq. You know the tunnel that you go through, the long tunnel where on the outside it may go through a mountain, it may be underwater. They call that a nafaq. It's like a hole. The mouse, he goes into the nafaq. The mouse, he runs into the hole. Linguistically, nifaq is where a person shows something outwardly, on the outside. He's showing you one thing, but on the inside is something else. It's a different reality. And that's why one of the characteristics of the munafiqeen that was mentioned in the Quran, يَقُولُونَ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. They say with their tongues that which they do not mean. So they say outwardly, we believe in Allah. We believe in Islam. We want good for al-Islam. We want good for the Muslims. They say that. But inwardly, there's not the reality. If something were to happen and it was to afflict the community or some of the Muslims or one of the Muslims, they rejoice and they're happy. And if something good were to fall upon the Muslim, upon the community, upon the ummah, that individual, he becomes upset. And that's why the munafiqeen, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they posed a serious threat to al-Islam. They are worse than the clear non-Muslims. In terms of the manzila, in terms of their daraja, they are worse than those people who make shirk with Allah, like the Nasara and like the Yahud, like the Mushrikeen. They are worse. Because those people are clearly saying, we have animosity towards you. We don't want your religion. And we want you to know that there is enmity and animosity and rancor between you and us. So you know who your enemy is. Whereas the munafiq is not that situation. The munafiq is that individual who he smiles in your face all the time. You want to take your place. He's a backstabber. Some people have friends who are munafiqeen. Smile in your face. Some people have husbands, munafiqeen. Some people have wives, munafiqeen. Lot, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, he had a wife who had the characteristics of a nifaq. And that when he received a guest, she would go out behind his back and tell people, come to the house. Lot has some guests who have visited him. Come and do fahisha with them. Nifaq, big mushkila. So Allah Ta'ala mentioned about them in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The munafiqeen are in the lowest portion of the hell fire. Lowest portion. So this ayat or this hadith, ayatul munafiq, the alamat of the munafiqeen. The munafiqeen, ikhwani, they have a lot of characteristics, as I told you, a lot. And that's why the scholars of Islam, they took care of writing about them in detail. Like I told you, you can always rest assured that Al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Dunya, remember that name, ibn Abi Dunya, he wrote in everything, especially the issues connected to the heart, and sulukiyat, and akhlaq, and adab, az-zuhd, anything you can think of, ghiba, namima, whatever you can think of. Al-Imam ibn Abi Dunya wrote about that issue. And he brought the Sifat al-Munafiqeen, Al-Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tabri, all of those scholars. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah has a very important book called Kitab al-Iman. That book, Kitab al-Iman, is a book in which he is refuting the people who go against Ahl al-Sunnah as it relates to al-Iman. What is the meaning of al-Iman? What does it consist of? It's a refutation against the Murji'ah and people like that. In that book, he talks very extensively about al-Nifaq and the Munafiqeen. And the scholars of Islam said, Al-Imam ibn Taymiyyah wrote in many of his books about these characteristics, that if someone were to come and put those things together where he wrote in different places, mutafarriqa, you'll get a very large volume of this issue. It's because of the danger of it. Those scholars of Islam took their time in order to deal with this issue. It's important you guys understand this right now. Pay attention. Ayyub, Isa. Nifaq is of two types. This hadith said, the ayat of the munafiq is three. If he lies, if he speaks, he lies. We know people who do that. If he promises, he breaks his promise. We know people who do that. If the individual were to be entrusted with something, he breaks the trust. We know people who do that. So is he a munafiq? Because one of the hadith says, anyone who has one of these characteristics, he has the characteristics of the munafiqeen. Anyone who has all of them, he is a munafiq khalis. He is a pure munafiq. So someone will read this hadith, and after reading this hadith, he sees an individual who falls into these issues, and then he'll say, you're a munafiq, you're a kafir, and then he make takfir of him. So we have to understand, this hadith shows us a very important point in al-Islam, and that is, there are two types of nifaq. Two types of nifaq. The first type of hypocrisy is the nifaq of actions. Nifaq amali. The nifaq of your actions. You do the actions of the munafiqeen, but you are a Muslim. Not only are you a Muslim, you can be a mu'min. You can be a mu'min. But you have qualities that the munafiqeen, they have. Allah Ta'ala mentioned the munafiqeen in the Quran, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. The munafiqeen are those people who, when they stand up for prayer, they don't want to pray. They stand up lethargically, lazily. They don't want to do it. And when they stand up to pray, they only remember Allah a little bit. They're not really thinking and contemplating and concentrating. That's the situation with many people. Are we going to say you munafiq? He doesn't pay attention to the salat because he doesn't know Arabic that well. He doesn't pay attention to the salat because he's a person who, his mind, he's hard for him to concentrate and focus. This is like that. He doesn't pay attention to a salat because he's negligent, because he's tired, because he had a head injury at one time. Many issues. We're not going to say this person's a kafir. That's an action of the munafiqeen. It doesn't put a person outside of al-Islam. He can still be a mu'min. The mu'min can fall into those characteristics. The second category or type of nifaq is the nifaq i'tiqadi, the nifaq of the aqidah, what a person believes. And that is, he doesn't believe Allah. He doesn't believe in Allah. He doesn't believe Allah. When Allah revealed things in the Quran, he doesn't believe it. When the Prophet speaks, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he doesn't believe that he's as-sadiq, al-mastuq. He doesn't believe that Prophet Muhammad was a Nabi or Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Doesn't believe in Yawm al-Qiyamah. He doesn't believe in aspects of al-Islam. It doesn't have any iman in his heart. That individual is outside of the fold of al-Islam. So the nifaq amali is called nifaq al-asghar, the small, minor nifaq. And nifaq al-i'tiqadi is the major nifaq. And you can't get it twisted. Because you say nifaq al-asghar, it doesn't mean that it's insignificant, because it's called the minor nifaq. Just like nifaq or kufr al-amali, a person does the actions of the kuffar, but he's not a kafir. He's not outside the religion. But the fact that he's doing that thing like swearing by other than Allah Azza wa Jal, still a major issue. So the nifaq al-amali is a major issue. Three things again mentioned in this hadith. If he speaks, he lies. If he promises, he breaks his promise. And if he's entrusted with something, he breaks the trust. Now, as it relates to the issue of the three descriptions, a lot can be said. We're not here to get into all of those details, but just to gloss over the issue. The first issue that the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, is if the individual speaks, he lies. Lying is not permissible in the religion of al-Islam by any stretch of the imagination or any situation except with three exceptions. Only three. La thalith laha. It's not permissible after that. You can lie, as the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, laysa bikadhibin fi thalath. Three things are not considered to be lying. The first thing is, when you want to make islah, bain al-nas. This brother is at odds with that brother, and as a result of that, you step in and you say, hey, this man spoke well of you, and this man defended you at an assembly in a majlis that I was in, and you lie about something that's not true. And you're saying that to bring people together, because al-Islam yastahdifu. There is a hadif, a maqsad in al-Islam, a goal and objective for unity. Islam came to make us brothers and to make us united. So it allowed you to lie to bring two people together, which goes to show how important unity is in al-Islam. And when I say unity, I'm not talking about an empty slogan, al-Ittihad, al-Ittihad. Unity, unity. I'm talking about unity based upon the Kitab and the Sunnah. We cannot be united with people who curse the companions, Radwanullahi alayhim. We cannot be united with people who they believe in the i'tiqad of the Qadianis and the Ahmadiyyas. We can't be in unified situation with them because they're not people of this millah because of what they say. Not because Abu Usama doesn't like them, but because of what they say and what they believe. So we're not talking about that unity of the Jama'at al-Siyasiya, those political groups. I saw in Egypt some of the people from the Ikhwan al-Muslimin, they gave praise to saying Merry Christmas to the Coptic people. And they call them our brothers, our brothers. I'm not talking about that mafhum and that understanding of unity, no. Al-Islam wants us to be united regardless of your color, regardless of your geographical background, regardless of your wealth, regardless of situation. So when we have problems, Islam came to legislate that we have to eliminate those problems. Like the deeds go up to Allah on Mondays and Thursdays. Allah will forgive everybody for his sins except two people who are fighting each other. So that's an encouragement to hurry up and make islah. And one of those legislations is this issue. It allowed you to lie, to bring two people together, or a group of people together, or a family together. This family is warring with that family. You got to make islah. The second time, or exception, is a man can lie to his wife. As the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a wife can lie to her husband. A lot of times the men, the brothers, just hold on to the hadith, and there is a hadith that just says, it's permissible for a man to lie to his wife. There's a hadith that just says that. But there's another hadith. Just like in this case, the ayat of the munafiqah 3. And then there's another hadith that says 4. There's a hadith that says a man can lie to his wife. There's another one that says that the man can lie to his wife and his wife can lie to him. So the husband can lie to his wife and the wife can lie to the husband in what we would call a white lie, if you will allow that. Although there are no white lies. I'm not even going to say that. I'm going to take that off the table. There are no white lies, insignificant, easy lies, none. Kadhib is a kabira from the kaba'ir. Allah Ta'ala commanded, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Be with those people who are truthful and say the truth, even if it's against yourself, even if it's for your enemy. You have to say the truth in our religion. So a man can lie to his wife when he's not going to steal her rights. He's not going to trample upon her rights, usurp her rights, and vice versa. If he says something to her that's not true, but it's going to make her happy. Like, her cooking is good in a meal that wasn't that good. That she looks very beautiful and very attractive after she has put on weight after having children for an example. He says to her, you're still the most beautiful woman in the world to me. Like when we first got married, he doesn't really mean that. He couldn't mean that, but he doesn't really mean that. That type of kedib is okay, permissible, because it's going to make the lady happy, and it's going to make the husband beloved to her, and vice versa. And the wife can do the same thing to the husband. Same thing. The third incident and the third exception is in war. Al-harb khida. When you're at war, war is treachery and is lying. Although in al-Islam, there are rules and regulations in war. It's permissible to lie. But what does it mean war here? What does it mean? It's when the Muslims are at war with their enemies from the non-Muslims. It's not you being at war with another Muslim and then you use that and say, I can lie to him based upon the deen. La, it's not the case. So you remember that. Those three times are exceptions to the rule that it's permissible to lie to make peace between two warring factions, two different sides, two different groups. Permissible for the man to lie to his wife and the wife to the husband as long as they're not stealing each other's rights. And number three, it's not haram to lie in a state of war. And even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he used to use this issue to trick the non-Muslims when it came to war, when it came to him making hijrah. As for what we find the Rafida doing of Al-Iran and Al-Iraq and Pakistan and Bangladesh and Afghanistan and Lebanon, those people who say, La deena liman la tuqya lahu. He doesn't have a deen, the one who doesn't have tuqya. Tuqya is lying. Tuqya is lying. That's outside of our religion. Unless a person is compelled in a state of war, he's in a situation where he's going to get in trouble. Like what used to happen in the past, where the leader of the Muslims would be looking for a good person, a good scholar, a big scholar, and that scholar is hiding from the leader. So you as a student of knowledge, you as a person from the community, some of the religious people from the Salaf, they wouldn't rat him out, cheese him out, grass him out. And if they were asked, where is that man? Do you know where he is? They'll say, I don't know where he is. Meaning right now, I don't know where he is. And there's another issue, and the scholars have mentioned this in Ilm al-Hadith. In the science of Hadith, there is this thing called At-Tadlis. At-Tadlis is Akhul Kadhib. It is the brother of lying. At-Tadlis is when you say something to someone to make them think something else, but you're really not lying. And some of the great scholars of al-Hadith used to be guilty of this. And some of the Tabi'een, they would do the Tadlis in a-Hadith, and they had good reasons. So some of the scholars said it was okay. And most of them said it's not okay because it's lying. But it's not the straight up outright lying that makes a person a kadhab and makes his hadith mawdu'. Tadris. A man took knowledge from this man over here. He took knowledge from this man over here. Everybody knows this man by his kunya, Abu Bakr Ibn Abi Dunya. That's what everybody knows his name. So if the man says in the narration, I was told by Abu Bakr, he's a good scholar in hadith. Everybody's going to think he's talking about Abu Bakr Ibn Abi Dunya. But he says, I was told by Ahmed, because Abu Bakr Ibn Abi Dunya's name is Ahmed. But people don't know his name is Ahmed. The man said, Ahmed told me. And he meant Abu Bakr Ibn Abi Dunya. But he did that with someone who's weak. And he wants the people to think that he's talking about Al-Imam Ahmed or another Ahmed who is trustworthy. That's what Tadlis is. And there are different types of Tadlis. The important thing is Tadlis is a part of lying. It's the brother of lying and it's not permissible. Scholars of Hadith looked down upon it and they didn't justify it and didn't accept the justification that some of the Tabi'een came up with justifying this issue. As it relates to the issue of Al-Kathib, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam brought a religion that showed us that there are different levels and different types of lies. All lying is not the same. When a person lies and he says, Wallahi, it's worse than the person just lying. Allah asked a question, a rhetorical question, or su'al inkari. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Who is worse, who is more oppressive than the one who lies on Allah? He lies on Allah. And we have some people who do that. From these madhahib, we have people who do that. The Muslims do that against each other. When we have enemies one to another, people make things up about other people and attribute to them. It's not even true. It's not even true. So in order to show his madhab is right, a person to make up a hadith and say that the Prophet said this, the Prophet said that, and he's lying. He'll say that the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and it's fabricated in order to get the person to just believe it. You guys have to be careful, ikhwati fillah, that what's up, people send out those text messages that say, get rewards by sending this out to the next person. But when you read in the text message what it's saying and what it's commanding you to do and encourage you to do, any Muslim who has the basic knowledge of Islam, although it's said in the text message, Hadith Bukhari, you have to know this stuff is crazy. This is no hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The moon is making tawaf around the Kaaba on the 13th of this month or the 12th of that month. And people just believe that and they send it out to the next person. And some people will lie and they say, they'll make up the hadith and they'll say it was collected by a Muslim. And you think he's talking about Imam Muslim. He said, no, it was narrated, collected by a Muslim. But when you read it, if you're not paying attention, he's getting you to think with tadlis. He's talking about Al-Imam Muslim, the famous book. And it's a fake hadith, fabricated hadith. Fakunu ma'a sadiqeen. Don't be with the people and don't be from the people who lie in their speech. Lying, ikhwani, is a characteristic that is a dhamima. Because it's a sign and indication that a person doesn't have bravery. He doesn't have courage. Say the truth and let the chips fall where they may. Say the truth and let the chips fall where they may. So if a person knows it's going to reflect negative on him, or he's going to have a problem concerning it, what he's saying concerning the truth, the fact that he has a tawakkul on Allah and al-iman billah, he understands his names and his attributes, he knows that nothing can help him harm him except Allah, so he says the truth how it is. Second issue that he mentions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. Same issue. When he speaks, he lies. I did this, I did that, I went over there, he told me this, I saw them do that, it happened, this happened. Then when you go and check it, it's all false. If you find a person like that, know that he's a kadhab and keep your eyes open. The second issue is, if he promises you, he breaks the promise. Let's meet at this time, let's meet at that time, let's meet over here, let's do this here, I will be there, I'm going to give it to you, I borrowed the money, I'll give it to you, and he doesn't do it. He makes the ikhlaf of the wa'd. That's a sign of the munafiqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised the believers in the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many, many ayat, kathiratun jidda, like the statement of Allah ta'ala, wal mufuna bi ahdihim idha ahadu. Those people who, when they have a contract, they make a promise, they stick to their promise. He says he's going to give you the money, he's going to give you the money on the day that he said he's going to give you the money. And if something came up that was out of his ability, just didn't know that was going to happen, that he was going to have iflas and be muflis, he didn't know. But when that day comes, or before that day, he's going to call you up and say, hey, I'm not going to be able to pay you. Can I get an extension? As for running from you and dodging you and not meeting you here, meeting you there, that's from the ayat of the munafiqeen. You made a promise. And from the worst promises, because breaking promises are of different levels. Breaking a promise that you gave to your dad is not like breaking a promise that you gave to someone else. The promise you gave to your mother is not like the promise you gave to someone else. You younger brothers, hey ma, hey dad, I'm going over to so-and-so's house and I'm promising you I'm going to be well-behaved. I'm promising you I'm going to call you. I'm promising you. As a youngster, you can be one of the people who fall into the ayat of the munafiqeen. You work for people and you make promises. We came here to this country. I'm from America. I told these people, I'm on a contract. I promise you I'm going to stick to the rules and the regulations. I'm going to do the law. I'm going to do the law. When I break that promise, I can't justify that and say these people are munafiqeen. I'm at a war with these people, as some of these people of takfir and jihad be doing, taking the ayat of the Quran, a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and misconstruing them. They're kuffar. They're non-Muslims. So therefore, I don't have to keep my word. I don't have to keep my promise. No, that's not the religion. With them more so than anybody else, you got to keep your promise because you're giving da'wah to Allah. Allah Ta'ala described the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum min al-mu'minin rijal sadaqu ma ahadullah alayhi minhum man qada nahbahu minhum man yantazir wa ma baddalu tabdila. From the men, from the believers, are those men, may Allah be pleased with all of them. They took care of their promise and their contract to Allah. From them are those who went out and fulfilled the promise, and they lost their lives. They made the complete sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, and they laid their lives down on the line, and they lost their lives. And there are some of them who are still waiting. So they continue to perform jihad until they even got a shahada, they got the shahada, or until they die in a way that Allah Ta'ala decreed for them to die. So Allah described them as men, and He praised them in that ayah, and He said they didn't change anything. They didn't change anything after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Rafida, when they come and they say that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they should have chose Ali ibn Abi Talib to be the Khalifa, and they should have done this to Ahlul Bayt and this and this and that, they're speaking and they're lying. You ask the Yahud, what is lying in your religion? The Yahud are going to say it's not good. You ask the Nasara, where is the position of lying placed in your religion? They're going to say it's a bad thing. You ask the people who curse the companions from these Rafida, they're going to say the one who doesn't lie with Tuqya, he has no deen. You have to make Tuqya. Tuqya to who? Tuqya to the people of the Sunnah. It's like the Qadianis and the Ahmadiyya. They have a slogan, love for all, hatred for none. The meaning of that? We have love for everybody, but hatred for Ahl Sunnah. Because the people of the Sunnah are going to say, hey, Mirza Ghulam Ahmed, he's outside of the fold of Islam based upon the Quran, the Sunnah. So they don't like that. So they won't like you. So that slogan is not true. Love for all, hatred for none. They have hatred for Ahl Sunnah. So my point is, the issue of lying as your religion is crazy. As it relates to promising, making promises, they are not all the same. Breaking promises are not all the same. From the promises that we have to take care of is the promises that were connected to the marriage. You agreed and you promised. You agreed and you promised when you sat with Hawali and they chose you and they said it's okay. You promised you're going to give her her dowry. You promised that you were going to be fair and just because you have more than one wife. You promised that you were going to protect her. You were going to provide for her. You promised her father. You promised her people. All kind of wa'ud. So the individual, no one's perfect. But he has to make jihad. And he has to remind himself. And he has to keep on reminding himself and repeating the dhikr. Hey, I got to get on top of this issue. I have to get on top of this issue. Al-wa'd. The wa'd is going to be looked into. Lastly, he mentions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith. The individual who, when he's entrusted with something, he breaks the trust, the amana. The amana is serious in al-Islam, ikhwani. And one of the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah is that the amana will be lost. The man came and said, Ya Rasulullah, when will Yawm al-Qiyamah, when is it going to be? When is it going to be? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't pay attention to him. The man asked, when is it going to be? He didn't pay attention to him. When is it going to be? And then he answered him, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. He told the people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرِ إِلَى غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ. If responsibility is given to the wrong people, the incompetent, unqualified people, they become the ones who are responsible for different things, like the deen. He doesn't know what he's talking about. His understanding of the deen is warped. He's not qualified. He's not competent to get on the minbar or to talk to the people because he's teaching shirk, kufr, khurafat, bid'ah. The shirk that he's teaching, he understands it as being Islam. He understands it to be a tawheed. The bid'ah that he's teaching, he understands that it is the sunnah. The khurafat, hocus pocus, he understands that this is al-i'tisam and al-ittiba, hocus pocus, like the dream, the dream, what they call it again? People wear things to make the dream, the bad dream go away. The dream catcher. How can a Muslim possibly buy for himself something that the Native American Indians use? You can wear it, you can hang it up, and you believe that this thing, if you have a dream, is going to catch the bad dream, and the bad dream is going to miss you. That's khurafat, ya akhi. When I went to India, you go into almost any store, Muslim, Sikh, Hindu, and you find in the store, they have that eye that's there to protect people. That's Islam. So the Yawm al-Qiyamah will happen when wrong people are in the positions of responsibility. So the man said, or the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the man said, when is Yawm al-Qiyamah? He said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا دُوْيَعْتِ الْأَمَانَةِ فَانْتَظَرِ السَّعَى. If the amana is lost, then the hour is close. Wait for it. When is Yawm al-Qiyamah? When the amana is lost, then wait for the hour. The man said, and how is the amana going to be lost? He said, people will be put in positions of responsibility and they're not the right people. The amana is serious. Inna aradna al-amanata ala al-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal fa'abayna yahminnaha washfaqna minha wa hamalaha al-insan. We projected or we offered the amana to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, that they would take responsibility of the amana. But they refused. And they were afraid. And they thought it was too heavy. And they refused. But mankind took responsibility for it. And the mankind, he is oppressive and he is ignorant. So from the amana, again, as I mentioned, the amana of our children, Ayyub, istiqidh, go wash your face, come back. And don't get your clothes all wet neither, all right? The amana. Our children are the amana. So we have to be on top of our kids. Everybody here. You have little brothers and sisters. Maybe your mother and your father are not really practicing Islam. Or maybe your mother and your father, they are not really out in society moving around. They don't know the language that well. They don't know the system. They've been here all this year, all this time. They don't know the system. But you know, it's your job to go to the school and to secure the Islam and the protection of your brothers and sisters. It's your job. That's an amana in your neck, an amana. Our kids, that we sit with them, we talk to them, we read the Quran, we teach them the Quran, they memorize the Quran to the best of your ability, an amana. If a person lets his kids sit down and he has access to social media without any supervision, open-ended, he has lost the amana. And the people who came up with these smartphones and this Facebook and they came up with this stuff, these people themselves say, I'm not letting my kid have a smartphone, because they know the harm of that stuff. What it does to the eye, what it does to the brain. Some of us are programmed where if we don't find that smartphone, we thought something happened to it, we will literally freak out. Not just because maybe you have a picture of your wife in there without hijab on. Not just because you do internet banking. Not because that is just a part of our lives. If we lost our son in the supermarket, we'll keep going up and down the aisles of Morrison saying, he'll find me. He'll find me. He's going to find me. He's either going to come up each and every aisle until he finds me, or he's got enough sense to know, wait for me at the cash register. But if he left his phone somewhere and didn't have it, he's going to backtrack everywhere that he went. And he's going to have anxiety. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? Some of the people, subhanAllah, us, when we go to sleep, you know, and you wake up in the middle of the night, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, the person picks up his phone. Although the light is going to wake you up, focusing on what is written. You're using your brain now, and you're going to wake up. And that's because it is an addiction, just like heroin and crack. You know a crackhead? He's a phonehead. Some people are like that. The amana. Don't leave your kids like that. Unsupervised. Amana, amana. You work at a job. You have a job to do. That's an amana. They don't have to be looking over you to force you to do the job. CCTV to tell you, don't take the mushaf out of the masjid. Don't steal from the coats that are hanging up. All you guys have to do, Ikhwani, is go on that YouTube and put in the YouTube robbing the mosque. Robbing the mosque or the masjid. You're going to see a catalog of people breaking into the masajid all over the UK. They broke into our masjid. Well, he didn't break in. He actually waited until everybody left. And he was hiding in the toilets. And then he came in with a crowbar and went inside the safe. And it happened another time where they broke inside that room over there, shattered the walls, the glass. Amana. Lastly, if he argues, he proves to be a person who is treacherous. Everybody here has gotten into a situation where he got so upset, he got so hot, that he wants to say the things that are not appropriate. Some of us have the ability to hold back, and some of us do not. It is a human quality that we have. It's a human quality that we have. I mentioned today in a talk that I want to rectify something that I've been saying for years, but a brother brought it to my attention today that it was wrong. The hadith of Abu Dharr and Bilal ibn Rabah. I narrated the famous narration. The famous narration in which it said that Abu Dharr became upset with Bilal ibn Rabah. And he said to him, Ya ibn imra'at as-sawda, you son of a black lady, you son of a black lady, the N-word. And then Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he apologized after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Dharr, did you say that to him? He said, yes. He said, innaka mri'un fika jahiliya. You a person, you have jahiliya in you. Racism is a jahili characteristic. Racism is jahili, it's from jahiliya. Do you criticize him because of his mother? The color of his mother, his father, and they gave birth to him that way? It's not his fault. This man's lihya is not like that because he made it like that. This brother's right here. His head is not like that because he just had it like that. This guy right here, his miniature afro is not like that because he has something to do with that. Nobody has anything to do with that. You have something to do with the way you're grooming it. This brother right here has a gray beard. He has nothing to do with that. It's hereditary. Sunnah of Allah. And you're going to blame him like a ginger. You know, they say the ginger person, the ginger is the child of the devil. So some people, as soon as they see someone who has ginger hair, they think something is inherently wrong with them. A lady that has blonde hair, some people think she's a bimbo. She's dumb just because she got blonde hair. Who thinks like that? Some of you wear glasses. Because he has a glasses, he's a geek. He's a glasses. So our kids grow up with a weak left eye, a weak right eye, both eyes are weak, but it can be rectified by the Allah because they caught it in time. He's 5, 6 years old. Wear your glasses. He won't wear them because it's not cool. The people think I'm a geek. I want to tell you, brothers, it's better to be a geek than it is to be a thug. It's better to be a geek and a nerd than it is to be a gangster, because the gangster is going to jail. The thug is going to get stabbed, shot. He's going to stab someone, shoot someone. With a nerd, he's going to mind his own business and he's going to get a nice job, inshallah. My point is, these stereotypes is from Jahiliyyah. And that narration that's inside Bukhari, it wasn't the way I've been narrating it all of these years. Subhanallah, all of these years. And I say, Alhamdulillah, Al-Imam Abdullah ibn Mubarak used to say, Rahimallahu al-mar'ahda ilayya uyubi. May Allah have rahmah upon the person who gives me my gift. He gives to me as a gift my shortcomings. And he says to me, hey, you're going overboard. Hey, you're not being fair. Hey, you're not being balanced. Hey, what you said is wrong. It was inappropriate. On and on and on and on and on. So we're going to deal with that, inshallah, in one of the classes, because I've been writing down those things where people told me, hey, this is not right. And then I researched it and the haq was with them. I tell them right away, that's correct what you said, but I want to take some time out, maybe once a month, and just go over things to rectify those things so that I'll be free, inshallah, with Allah Azza wa Jalla Yawm al-Qiyam. As it relates to the issue of promising and breaking your promise, we have to stick to that. Even, as I said, there's no white lie in Islam. Every lie is black and big. And there's something that we do as parents that the Prophet said, don't do it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't say to your children, hey, if you do this and you do that, I'm going to take you over there to that track where you could do the go-kart, and you know you're not taking him. Don't say it. If you do this and do that, I'm going to take you to Desert or something, whatever these places are called. Is that place on Coventry Road? ISIS? Is it called ISIS? Ice Cafe? I'm going to take you there. We're going to get milkshakes. If you know you're not going, don't say that. The lady was trying to get her kid to come to her. She had a date, and she was saying, come on. Acting as if she had something. She didn't have anything. Come and get it. Come and get the sweets. Come and get the candy. Come and get it. Prophet Muhammad told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you don't have it and you're not going to give it to them, that's lying. Just give it. If they do what you ask them to do, your 12-year-old daughter, 13-year-old daughter, if you clean up the kitchen, I'm going to give you 10 pounds. If you let me wear your hat, I'm going to give you 5 pounds. Got to get a man of 5 pounds after that. And you can't say, he's just a kid. I'm the general and he's just the soldier, private in the army. I'm the general. No, I'm not the general. It's his hat. So the Muslim has to be upon this. We're going to stop here, inshallah, azza wa jalla. You guys have any questions about this dars, you can put your question forward, inshallah, ta'ala, the kan indukum shay. Hal indukum shay, hal min su'al. Do you guys have anything? There's one thing I forgot. Something that's a problem with the Muslims, especially the Arabs, and I want to make the tanbih on this. I wrote it here. I want to mention it. In the Muslim world, with the Muslims, in the Arab world and everywhere else, the Muslim will promise you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And he knows he's not going to do it. So if you want to be sure that he's going to do it, in the Arab world, the Arabs say, is that the wa'd in Jalizi or the wa'd of the Muslims? Is this promise you're making me the promise of the English, the Americans? Is that an American promise? Or is that the Muslim promise? Because the Muslim promise, you know, you're just saying, inshallah. That's when he say, inshallah. Do you mean inshallah of Islam, the real inshallah, or this inshallah, you're not going to do it? So this individual who thinks like that, are you talking about the promise of the American promise, the white man promise, or are you talking about the brown man promise, Pakistani promise, the Muslim promise? Not only do you have some inferiority complex, and you look at them as being superior to you, but you're not even saying what's real. How many promises has America made to the dunya and to people? How many promises did Obama make to the people? How many? How many promises do they make and they break their promise? What are you talking about? The English promise, the American promise. Where did that come from? The promise of the white man. What are you talking about? There are some white people who, they take care of their promises. And there are some Muslims who don't. And there are some white people who don't take care of their promises. And there are some Muslims who do. So if you want to say that, don't say, is that the English promise or the Arab promise? Don't say that. Say, is that the Islamic promise you're making to me or the promise of hypocrisy? That's the correct thing to say. You guys got that? We have to kill this thing that we have. We have to kill it. And we have a lot of statements like that that go against the religion. Love for all, hatred for none. And we have to hate some people. We have to hate the people who are doing dhulm and fisq and shirk. Gotta hate the shirk, gotta hate the dhulm, gotta hate the people, as Allah hates those people. But we have fiqh to that. We're not teaching hatred. We're talking about the context of al-Islam properly. Can't make that statement. What are you talking about? That statement. I went to the Arab world. I saw Muslims there, but no Islam. I came to the West. I saw Islam, but I didn't see Muslims. What are you talking about? You have an inferiority complex. But with this new generation, Isa, Ayub, I want you guys to bury that stuff. Kill that stuff. All right, if you guys have any questions, inshallah, about today's dars, the hadith of Abu Huraira and Ibn Umar and Hudhayfa ibn Yaman, radiyallahu anhum, you can put your question forward. Hal indukum shay? Tafaddal ya Sheikh. Wa fikum barakallahu wa ahsanallahu ilaykum. على كيفك يا شيخ الذي يريحك. هناك فرق أحسنت يا شيخ، وهذا الدرس إن شاء الله نستحق أن نقدمه، وهو قادم في الدرس الذي في الأسبوع الذي بعد هذا. الحديث يهتم بهذا الأمر. So if you look at our Sheikh, he's originally from Eritrea, and he lived in a time and an era different from ours, different from yours, different. I'm a bit closer to him, although he came from a different place. So as a result of that, his experiences in life, they are much different from what we experience in the younger people today. So he was mentioning some issues about some things that our children need to be taught, made to be understood to our kids. Like the real meaning of inshallah, the real meaning of giving your promise and doing these things, having fear of Allah. But that's what we're going to deal with inshallah in the coming week. We're going to naktafi bihadha al-qadr wa nasal Allah ta'ala yuwaffiqna wa iyyakum lima yuhibbu wa yarda. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just want to acknowledge for you brothers, since the Mu'tamar here in Green Lane, the conference, there were some brothers who attended that conference. After that conference, they went over to Leicester. They attended that conference from Leicester. They went all the way to London. They did the conference of our brother Dawah Man. They were there. And then from there today, they came right here to our masjid. And this is something that causes the eyes to become cool and the heart to become cold in a positive way with the Sakina. You guys keep up the good work, and may Allah Ta'ala make your path to getting knowledge a path of success. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.